Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. And we're going to talk about probably one of the most amazing weekends and Monday in the history of our nation for probably a number of decades. And, of course, we find now that Lehman Brothers has gone bankrupt, that Merrill Lynch has been bought up by Bank of America, that AIG, one of the largest insurers in America, is desperately trying to get $40 billion, that the banks are they're joining together to put together a lending fund of some $70 billion, trying to keep the financial situation in America intact. The whole thing is crumbling. Why? Because we have a fiat money system. There's absolutely nothing behind it. The government's been pouring money into our economy. They increased the money in circulation 12 times from 1971 to the year 2005. 12 times. And, of course, with that came they said, oh, my goodness, you know, everybody's making more money. They're making more money because you had all this money out there, but the money was becoming less valuable and everything was becoming less valuable. And then, of course, in the last 3 years, they've increased the amount of money in circulation, money in credit, some $4 trillion. And as one of our supporters said, you know, a trillion dollars there, pretty soon you're talking about worthless money. $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about worthless money, and that's exactly what's happening. And the whole financial system of the world is beginning to crumble. With us is Bob Chapman. Bob, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me again. And you're right. We have fiat money everywhere. And I guess none of us are going to be able to escape it worldwide. And, of course, it's a shame, but the powers behind government and governments love to inflate and that way get rid of their debts that they have. But at the same time, they create terrible inflation, and that's what we're going through right now at 13.625%, and I think that's going to get worse.
And, of course, the government simply lying to us about inflation. After all, if they told the truth, they'd have to pay more money to all the people on Social Security because Social Security is indexed to inflation. So they simply lie. And they lie about the rate of unemployment. And, of course, by lying about the rate of inflation, then they don't have to pay so much on their indexed T-bills, those indexed T-bills which are indexed to inflation. So, but this is what government has always done. Down throughout the ages, it has always betrayed its subjects. That's why our founding fathers wanted to limit the power of government, because they knew that government by its very essence was corruption. And under our constitutional system, the power of government was limited so people could be free. And unfortunately today, why most of our leaders don't believe in the Constitution. They refuse to abide by the Constitution that they've sworn an oath on, many times with their hands on the Bible, to uphold. And, of course, they're in the process of destroying the infrastructure of our nation. Why? Well, I believe they are dedicated to a world government. I believe that everything that's going on today is intent upon destroying the finances and the sovereignty and the integrity of our nation and plunging us into a world government, a new world religion with a new world leader. And the average American has no idea what's going on, do they, Bob?
They certainly don't, and they don't seem very interested on top of it. And they're just going to continue. And as the degeneration of economic...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Bob.
As the evolution of the problems in economics and finance get worse and worse as we go along, they're going to be in a pretty tight position. Most people are 3 or 4 weeks from being bankrupt for all intents and purposes, and there's a lot of layoffs going on. There's a lot more to come. Short-term unemployment, 6.1%. Intermediate term is 10.78%, and long-term is 14.78%. And so I think this situation is probably going to end up a few years from now at around 35%, like it was during the Great Depression. And, of course, today we have a lot more problems than we had then. Then we didn't have any debt, and we had a positive balance of payments, and we didn't have the leverage in the economy and in the marketplaces that we have today, and some of the instruments that we have today didn't exist then, such as credit cards.
And, of course, the other thing is that back in the 1930s, we had a gold-backed currency. Maybe Americans couldn't own gold, but the Federal Reserve could not just print as much money as they want to and create rapid inflation as they can today. But, of course, now there are no barriers on what the Federal Reserve can do, the privately owned Federal Reserve, because the Federal Reserve is not a branch of government. It's a privately owned central bank created by bankers, for bankers, who admits the bankers, and the average American doesn't even understand what it's all about. But, of course, we are on the edge of financial chaos. I just heard Henry Paulson on the news saying, oh, it's just in a few months, everything's going to be fine. We'll be over the housing crisis. Do you think Henry Paulson is telling the American people the truth?
Absolutely not. He's a member of the Illuminati, and he only does what the bankers want to do. And he told us a year ago that the problems in the credit markets were very, very short term, and that they were probably over soon, and everything was going to be okay.
Then I think people have to understand that Henry Paulson gave up a job that paid him $40 million a year to take a job with as Secretary of the Treasury for $180,000 a year, so that he could lie to the American people and deceive us, and everything he and Bernanke are doing, of course, is destroying the very foundation of our system. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. And Bob is saying he thinks that, of course, the crisis, the economic crisis we're facing is not going to be over in a few months, as Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, said. I heard him just shortly before the program started on one of the news broadcasts assuring the American people everything is just fine. And, of course, what he's not telling them is they planned this. They are intentionally destroying the value of our currency. After all, you can't have a world government unless you have a world currency. You can't have sovereign currencies. So what do you do with the sovereign currencies? Why, you destroy them. And they've been working at this for a long time, and they're in the process of doing it. And at the end, why, we're going to end up with a global currency on one of the stepping stones towards the world government that our leaders really want. But, of course, nobody ever talks about it. Obama and McCain don't talk about it because they're both controlled by the same people. And, of course, it's not talked about by the media because the media is controlled by an elite who go right along with this idea of the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. Bob, tell us about what's going on. What's the significance of the fact that AIG, the largest insurance dealer in the United States, is suddenly trying to get some $40 billion in loans? Why do they need all that money?
Well, first of all, they made some really terrible investments, and that was in the area of insuring mortgages as well as writing them. And this problem was hidden from the public, and when the stock was selling at $65 a share, you know, I said to myself, "Gee, should I recommend a short on this?" And I really backed off because Hank Greenberg was the CEO of the company, and he is a top person in the Illuminati. He's a guiding light in the Council on Foreign Relations. He ran their Foreign Affairs Committee for some time, and his company had been used by the CIA for money laundering, and they had been working with the CIA and the Mossad in black operations. And so I backed off on it. Of course, the stock is $3 now. But this is the kind of company it is, and it wants $40 billion from the Federal Reserve, which what they're saying is we want the American public to pay $40 billion to bail us out. And so they waited about a day, and the state of New York's governor said, well, we'll lend them $20 billion of the assets of the people of the state of New York, which I think was a very unwise offer to make. And then after the close today, the Federal Reserve asked Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase to come up with $75 billion to bail them out.
To bail out,
I mean,
AIG.
The insanity just goes on.
Well, you know, really we're talking about, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars that these people are short. They don't have. We're talking about the largest insurance company in the United States being financially insolvent. And, of course, you know, where does the governor of New York end up, you know, lending $20 billion? Does New York have that amount of money, $20 billion, just sitting around someplace? Are they going to get it by raising bonds? Are they going to take it out of the pension of funds? Where are they going to get $20 billion to give to AIG?
Well, my guess is the pension funds
Where
they'll get it.
Well, of course, you know, investing the pension funds, and especially now with the stock market down 500 points today, over 500 points, I mean, that means that the value of the pension funds is falling. And now they're going to take part of the falling value of the pension funds and invest it in Hank Greenberg's old insurance company?
Well, obviously there's some intention of that sort. But he was a governor who just 2 weeks ago was telling his constituents that they'd have to cut back on spending because the revenues weren't coming in, because Wall Street was getting hammered, and particularly the firms on Wall Street, and that they probably would have to raise taxes. And he follows it up by offering to loan money, $20 billion to an insolvent company. I mean, that's just incredible.
We thought Elliot Spitzer was bad.
Oh, Elliot Spitzer just had a strange personal life. What he did was he went after the right people, and Greenberg was one of them. And he paid because they set him up. And not that he didn't have those proclivities, but they set him up. And
I mean, where does the FBI get off investigating prostitution? Is that a federal crime? And then where does the FBI get off announcing, making a public announcement about a public official being involved with a prostitute? I mean, obviously, this was payback time for Elliot Spitzer. I don't like Spitzer. I have no use for him at all. But, of course, you see the misuse of police power by our government, for those people who were targeted by the power elite. And Spitzer had just stepped on too many toes. He'd even investigated some people in the FBI for corruption. And boy, that's something you never dare do if you're a state governor or attorney general.
And it just shows you the absolute, absolute corruption that's rife throughout not only our government, but also rife through the whole law enforcement of our country. It just absolutely stinks.
Well, what we need, of course, is return to morality. If you don't have moral people, how can you have a moral society? How can you believe the people from the FBI when they testify, as we just heard on CBS last night, they testify about the how they could identify the lead in a bullet and be absolutely sure which box of bullets it came from. And they've been doing that for 30 years, and they've sent hundreds of people to jail on falsified FBI testimony. You can get that off of CBS 60 Minutes yesterday. And even though they know these men are innocent, some of them, one man had been there for 20 years, they won't let him out of prison. Why? Well, of course, he'd sue the state for putting him there illegally by using fraudulent testimony and doctored testimony, fraudulent testimony from the FBI, and doctored testimony from unreliable witnesses. Well, they can't let him out. They'd have to pay him a lot of money. Well, we would begin not to believe that the court system is honest. And unfortunately, the court system is honest, no longer honest, because we do not have honorable people. We do not have people who believe in God and believe that there is a punishment after death for wrongdoing. But go right ahead, Bob.
I talked to an attorney who is very close to the attorney who is representing this man, Conley, who is being tried in Florida for part of a murder scheme. And Conley is an ex-FBI agent who had several informants in Boston and who was involved with this...
White Bulger?
Yes, that's right, Bulger. And that whole gang of people called the Winter Hill Gang.
Right.
And I'm sorry to tell you, I grew up with those people. I know them. And that's just because I lived in the city that they did. And that's how I know so much about this. And the FBI have set about, and they already did this once, in setting up Conley and putting him falsely in jail. Now they're going to try to put him in jail for a longer period of time on trumped-up evidence. And you should have heard the attorney when he talked to me about what was going on. He says, it's just incredible. There is no more law enforcement.
Well, of course, Whitey Bulger, of course, was an informant for the FBI working within the mafia in Boston. And over a period of 20 years, he tortured and killed at least 20 people. And, of course, one of the people who was responsible for killing them has come forward and even written a book about it. And you'll hear that on 60 Minutes as well. But the FBI was protecting Whitey Bulger as he tortured and killed people over a period of 20 years. Why? Because he was giving them a little bit of information about the mafia and playing them. And, of course, then when local police were going after him for murder and torture, the FBI informed him so he could escape. And he did escape, and he's still on the loose. That's Whitey Bulger. Fortunately, we have the Internet, so people can go up there and look about it. It's an incredible, incredible story. The difficulty is the American people don't understand that the FBI has total control over the mafia today. They have their people planted all throughout the mafia. And, of course, it's totally infiltrated, and they're protecting many of those criminals from criminal prosecution. How can you have an honest society when you have dishonest people within law enforcement? I would think that anybody, of course, with the FBI, if they had a shred of integrity, would resign or at least come forward as the former head of the laboratory there, the path lab for the FBI did. And we have a four-tape set on the FBI with interviews with a fellow who formerly headed the lab for the FBI, who points out that so much of the forensic evidence that he came up with fraudulent, and FBI agents would openly perjure themselves just so they could get a free trip to an area. Maybe there was good fishing there. So they'd go and get fraudulent testimony and send people to prison for the rest of their life so they could get a little fishing in. It's an amazing story, our four-tape set here at Radio Liberty on the FBI. But we're way off the subject of what's going on.
Well, anyway, it's important that people know these things. We might be off the subject, but, you know, when I grew up in that environment, and I knew from a very early age, and I'm talking about 8 or 9 years old, how corrupt the law enforcement system was, and the courts were a laugh. And it's now 10 times worse than it was in the 1940s and 50s and 60s.
Well, this is what happens when a nation turns its back on God, unfortunately. Well, we need, of course, to put the fear of God back in the people and the realization that if you're not judged in this world, you will be in the next one. Our founding fathers knew that. Unfortunately, this is not taught in our schools today. After all, we can't mention God in public schools, can we? Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I think that we're going to probably get an interest rate cut tomorrow. And I predicted this in the International Forecaster a couple of weeks ago. And it's either a quarter or half a point before the election, and this is a perfect spot to do it because the market was up 500 points today, and the economic news continued to be dreadful about inventories and industrial production and unemployment and on. And so I would expect, if I'm correct, that the market will probably rally back tomorrow and give people a second a chance to short it. At the same time, if interest rates are lowered, gold and silver are probably going to rally again and probably continue to rally strongly. I don't think that an interest rate cut is really going to help very much, not even in the mortgage area, because there are very few people today who have 15 or 20% to put down on a home and have very good credit. And so they're not giving out an awful lot of loans. It's not going to help really that much in the resetting of loans. One of the reasons why is the fact that people who are resetting, many of them, don't have any equity. And so consequently, they can't get real loans at all. And so I think it's really another act of smoke and mirrors. And they're still increasing the M3, which is money and credit, by about 15%. And John Williams has it at 14, but we match up on unemployment at the same figures the government has, and we match up on inflation at 13.625%. So it's going to be a false rally in the market, may not even last for more than a day, and the dollar will take a dump. It was down today, and if they lower rates, it'll probably really get whacked tomorrow. And also, we should see another good rally in gold and silver.
Well, I think that we're in such difficult times that the average individual doesn't understand what's going on. They don't understand that everything is being manipulated. They don't understand that commodities are manipulated, that gold is manipulated, that silver is manipulated, that oil is manipulated. All of these things are manipulated, certainly with the connivance of people at the highest levels of our government. And for anybody who wants to verify that, simply go to the Internet, go to Google in the Working Group on Financial Markets. The Working Group on Financial Markets, known as the Plunge Protection Team, are made up, of course, the Secretary of the Treasury and the Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, and certainly the head of the SEC. Who else is on the Working Group, Bob?
Well, let's see. The head of the Fed, the head of the New York Fed, the head of the CFTC, the SEC, and the Secretary of the Treasury. The Secretary of the Treasury leads the operational PAC.
All right.
PAC, P-A-C-K. And of course, they coordinate all their moves with the Fed, and they run their actions through the repo market. In fact, they increased repos today, $50 billion.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
From collapsing.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman. Bob was just saying that the Working Group on Financial Markets put some $50 billion into the market today to keep it from really going down. It only went down 500 points. But the Working Group on Financial Markets, of course, is made up of the head of the Fed, the head of the Secretary of the Treasury, which would be Paulson, the head of the Commodity Trading Board, the SEC, and the head of the New York branch of the Fed. Is that right?
That's correct.
And, of course, these people manipulate the markets. And until you understand the markets are all manipulated, you can't understand that when the dollar should go up, it goes down. And when the dollar should go down, it goes up. And certainly, certainly the price of gold and silver ought to be skyrocketing, why it is plummeting through the floor. Once you understand it's all manipulated, it all makes sense. Now, of course, as long as the American people believe we have a free enterprise system, why, of course, they're going to be continue to get slacked. Understand, the system is set up so that the wealthy get wealthier, and the poor man who tries to play the market's going to get into real trouble. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Tony calling from Spokane. Hi, Tony. You have a question.
Oh, good evening. Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm looking at the Federal Reserve Board website right now.
Right.
Speech given by Ben S. Bernanke at a conference to honor Milton Friedman, University of Chicago, on November 8th. 2002, and basically it sets out Milton Friedman's, let's just call it theory, that the Federal Reserve brought on the Great Depression, caused the bank failures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Basically all the things that Mr. McFadden said. And at the end of this speech.
Now, for our listeners, Mr. McFadden, of course, was the chairman of the House Banking Committee during the time of the Great Depression. He kept trying to tell the American people that this whole thing was brought on by the Federal Reserve System intentionally by the privately owned central banks, and they tried to kill him several times. That's the story of McFadden. I think it was named Bernard McFadden, but go ahead.
Well, at the very end of Mr. Bernanke's speech, I'm just going to quote the last line of his speech. It says, "Let me end my talk by abusing slightly my status as an official representative of the Federal Reserve. I would like to say to you, Milton and Anna, or that is Anna Schwartz, who co-authored a book with him, regarding the Great Depression, you're right, we did it. We're very sorry, but we won't do it again."
Right. And, of course, right now, of course, they're doing what they claim should have been done during the Great Depression, and that is, of course, put more money into the system. And they perpetuated the Great Depression of the 30s by withdrawing money from the system. The problem is, at least we had a stable currency. Then we had a gold-backed currency. Today, we no longer have a gold-backed currency. It's entirely different. What are they doing today? They're just pouring money out into the economy in an effort to buy our way out of this. In the process, they're going to destroy the value of our currency through inflation. Bob, what are your comments on what Tony said?
Oh, he's absolutely correct. I'm going to let this one on the air. Thank you. Sure.
Go right ahead.
They strangled the system, and they caused the depression. And it began in 1929, and the smart guys knew what was going on, and they got out. You know, the Joe Kennedys and Bernard Baruch and the Rockefellers. And then when they tried to reverse it later in 1932, it worked for a short period of time, and the market rallied back, and the economy came back a little bit, and then it collapsed again. And, you know, I look back and I say, what were my mother and father thinking about 1935? That's when I was conceived and born and in the middle of a depression. But we never came out of the depression. They just had another war.
And, of course, a war, that's why, of course, it's so obvious we're going to war now. This is the only way they're going to get out of the Depression and distract us from what they've done, because the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that these people of great wealth have enriched themselves, impoverished us, and destroyed the value of our currency, and there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. And as Lenin said, and of course Alan Greenspan quotes him in Alan Greenspan's book, The Age of Turbulence, and now one person in a million will know what's happening. Well, of course, thanks to Talk Radio and Bob Chapman, an awful lot of our listeners out there understand that they're intentionally debauching the financial system. It's important that you understand what's happening is not happening by accident. These people are not stupid. They know what they're doing. They know fiat currencies always end up collapsing. And, of course, they've set out to destroy our currency. As I said at the beginning of the program, according to Ron Paul, they increased the money and credit in circulation 12-fold from 1971 to 2005, and $4 trillion since then. $4 trillion. And as the WAG said, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, pretty soon dollars become worthless. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Bob, certainly if they lower the interest rates coming up here tomorrow, how long do you think this will give us some advantage? We get it down to 1.75% or 1.5%. Lowering the interest rates didn't get Japan out of the mess that they were in back in the 90s, did it?
Well, it's a good point, and you're absolutely right. They took them down to zero, and maybe they'll do that in America because America's bankrupt. And the lowering of interest rates just are not going to help. All it's going to do is keep the system floating along until some event happens, and all of a sudden the whole thing comes unglued.
Well, don't you think?
And in the meantime, you get hyperinflation.
But of course, really, right now, of course, as long as they can maintain the stability, everything will be all right. What's really going to unglue it is if an event happens, and China and Japan and Russia. And, the other countries start dumping the dollars that they're holding as reserves and flooding those dollars back in here, and simply our dollar becomes worthless because there are trillions of dollars being held overseas. Trillions of dollars. We've been exporting our inflation for a long time. This is the way we were able to get rid of it. But what happens when Saudi Arabia and the others start dumping their dollars right back here in America?
Well, it'll be an inundation. And, you know, there's another thing to think about here. With all of this deficit spending that America is responsible for, that has been created by the Federal Reserve, the $29 billion that guaranteed with J.P. Morgan Chase and taking over Bear Stearns and all of these other things. And now we're looking at, from this past hurricane we just had, $1 trillion in losses and damages. And where is this money going to come from? Foreigners have been supplying us with $2.5 billion a day invested in America that they received in trade. And are they going to continue to take on this tremendous financial burden in behalf of the American people who really don't care whether they go bankrupt or not, in a government that certainly doesn't either?
Well, I think, of course, when the people understand what's really at stake, that everything they've worked their whole life for is going to be lost at that point, why hopefully, you know, they're going to begin to rally behind the flag and demand that these criminals who are in charge of our financial system be held legally responsible for deceiving the American people and for destroying the value of our currency. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our good friend, Bob Chapman, here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. If you have a question for Bob, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And this is certainly the most momentous weekend and the Monday that I've ever seen, with the market down 500 points. And many, of course, our major investment banks simply crumbled over this weekend. Certainly, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk to Bob, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the Forecaster, and if they want to, subscribe to it. Because if there was ever a time in the history of our nation where people need to know what's going on, it's right now. So go right ahead.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish via Internet on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It runs around 25 to 30 pages each time. And for those who are not on the net, we have a hard copy which goes out twice a month. If you'd like to visit our site, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. theinternationalforecaster.com. If you'd like to email us, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. If you'd like to call toll free, you can reach us at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And you can access us for a free copy, either hard copy or email copy at any of those addresses.
All right, and I think it's important that people understand what's going on, and they begin getting into his defensive position. It's a little late now, but still, you're going to be able to protect yourself. So what really is there any advantage to being in foreign currencies? We know certainly that many of the big boys, of Bill Gates, of Warren Buffett, the George Soros, they've been investing in foreign currencies, but are they any more stable than our currency?
No. In fact, all of them are worse, with the exception of the Swiss franc and probably the Russian ruble. China's got banking problems, and the rest of the world have problems of one form or another. And so the dollar is probably the worst currency of the whole frontline currency group, which is probably about 15 currencies, not just the USDX, which is the what is considered the six top currencies. And so one of the things they all have in common is that all those currencies have been going down against gold for 4 years, and they're going to continue to do so, each one in various degrees. And so if one has to be in a currency, it would be the Swiss franc. And the best place to be is in gold and silver-related assets.
All right, fine. We've got Robert calling us from Spokane. Robert, do you have a question for our guest tonight? Robert, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Okay, go right ahead. Do you have a question for our guest?
I do. I was just wondering if, actually for both of you guys, if you thought that the gold and silver has been reduced in value considerably over the last couple of months or 6 weeks or so.
Right.
I heard a theory today that a lot of the banks and financial institutions are trying to get liquid and have cash in preparation for all of this crisis, and are selling their gold, and that pressure has caused the price to go down. What do you think about that theory?
All right, do you think the banks are selling their gold because there's a financial crisis and they want to have paper money on hand? What are your thoughts, Bob?
Well, I'm sure they're doing some selling, but more likely they're leasing the gold. And what they do is, let's say they go to J.P. Morgan Chase, and they say, look, we want to lease $5 billion worth of gold, and usually they'll charge a premium to do that. But in this case, recently, they have been lending gold to people like Morgan, and they have not been charging them. They've been paying them, if you can believe this, to go out and commit themselves to taking down, let us say, hypothetically, $5 billion worth of gold. And what Morgan does when they get the gold, they immediately sell it into the market. And so when they go to pay back the money to the central bank, whoever it may be, they pay them in dollars. And so the banks, the central banks, don't get the money back, don't get the gold back.
But don't you really think that this is just...
Wait a minute. They hold the gold on their books as still being gold, even though they receive money instead of the gold. It's a whole flim-flam operation.
But don't you think that what is happening is that gold is being bought up by people of great wealth in preparation for the new world currency, the gold-backed world currency that will be issued by, privately by international financiers, as was suggested in an article in Foreign Affairs magazine last year talking about the new global currency, privately issued, gold-backed, but privately issued global currency.
You're absolutely right. That is their intention. And all these bank sales of gold, the big ones, were all gobbled up by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and other illuminists. And they're in control of a good part. I would say probably, and this is a guess now, I would say probably 30 or 35% is in their hands. Because we know for sure that the people of India took down 30 or 35% just on their own. And then you get buyers coming out of the Middle East and Asia and other parts of the world. So they probably make up a third. So, you know, what you're looking at here is exactly what you're saying. And that is, yes, they have over the past 10 and as long as 20 years been accumulating gold at as cheap as prices they could. That's what the sales of the Bank of England were all about 10 years ago. And that was feeding the gold to the insiders.
And I think this is really what it's all about. That's why the major banks are selling gold. They're simply selling it to their friends, private individuals who will ultimately use it to back the coming global currency. That is my speculation. Robert, anything else before we let you go?
Yeah.
No, I think
that I'm getting some mixed signals about Henry Paulson and the Bush administration. On one hand, it seems like they're saying last night or yesterday, nope, we're not going to bail out Lehman. We're going to let him die on the vine. And they bailed out the Bear Stearns. But now it seems like they're just going to start letting every one of these things die instead of bailing him out. Now, if you go with the theory that it's their intention to collapse our currency and collapse our economy, wouldn't it be reasonable to assume then that they would just go ahead and start bailing everybody out and devalue, make the value of the dollar just crash? It's just a lot of mixed signals out there.
All right, Bob, how would you comment and reply to Robert?
Yeah, I thought about that, and it's a hard one to call. The Lehmans are on the inside. They're part of the Illuminati. But I think what might have happened is that they may well have just simply gone beyond where they should have and made a terrible mistake. But Bear Stearns was not part of that pack. And in fact, that was a financial assassination. And Lehman, they did not want to go under, but Lehman complicated things by being arrogant, and they could have got the financing from South Korea, but no, they wanted their price, and consequently, the deal didn't go through, and so the company went under. And the system can handle it, but it's going to cut down money and credit by about $3 trillion. This was an enormous company.
$3 trillion. That's T-Tom, that terrible trillion. Is that $3 trillion you're talking about?
$3 trillion, yes.
$3 trillion, and I think people have to understand.
Yeah, no, that's the amount of liquidity
right
that will draw out of the system. If you see the interview that Meredith Whitney gave today on CNBC, she just laid them out. And it'll be in Wednesday's issue. I'll have the link to it. But that was her number, and I agree with that.
Do you know how I could get hold of Meredith? I'd love to get her on one of our programs. Do you have a telephone number for her? Give me off
no,
there.
No, I don't. And
who does she work for?
Oppenheimer in New York. Oh. She's an analyst.
Okay, fine.
So, and that lady's name? I'd like to watch that interview myself.
Meredith Whitney, W-H-I-T-N-E-Y.
Okay.
And she was the one a year ago, June, who blew the whistle on Citigroup and said, look, this company is not worth $38 a share. It's probably worth about $20. And that started this whole thing. This is the untoward act that I've talked about for so many years. Something coming from out of the blue, from out of left field. Nobody knows. All of a sudden it happens, and the house came tumbling down. And, of course, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, they never expected this. Wall Street's supposed to keep their mouth shut. I mean, that's why they've been after me for years, because they want to limit my audience, because they don't want people to know the truth, which I'm telling them.
Okay.
Same thing, only they never expected it from her.
Okay,
and
fine.
She said that, and listen to this, she said that housing's going to go down 45%, which is the exact figure that I used on average. And they asked her about the other analysts who were looking for 20 or 25%, and she said they're nuts.
Okay, anything else, Jack? Robert, before we let you go, we do have another caller.
Just one more quick question.
Okay.
And if you could allow me to listen, I won't say anything else. First of all, I just say I'd recommend you watch the Alan Greenspan interview on This Week. It was on yesterday. You can get it on the Internet. That was interesting. And also, if I understand you correctly, you think that they're artificially pressing the price of the metals down so the insiders can just hoard it, buy it, and hoard it, and hold on to it.
And the thing is, Robert, right now, if you could try to go out and buy gold and silver, they're hard to get. I mean, it really is. Silver has got a big premium, about $3 premium on $11 an ounce silver. So, I mean, they can say the price is $11, but you can't buy it at that price. Okay, fine. Thanks so much. And let's go to Jack, who's calling here from Michigan. Hi, Jack. How are you doing? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I want to ask whether old Ben Franklin was accurate when he said a republic, if you can keep it. It appears as though at that time of history, the only corporation that was seeking to subvert and subjugate the new republic would have been the banking cabal that existed at that point in time. But now it's obvious that there's many foreign de facto private corporations involved. So really, there's this lady. Has Bob ever heard of Catherine Austin Pitts, the tapeworm economy?
She's one of
to have a really good handle on the situation.
Well.
Hold that, Jack. Bob, what did you say?
I said she's one of our subscribers and has been for 10 years.
And I've actually interviewed her.
And I know her quite well.
And I've interviewed her as well. And she certainly is right out in the front lines telling what's going on. And Jack, thank you so much for calling. And, Chris, we are in real trouble. We are in trouble today because an elite has taken control of the reins of government and controls both political parties and the media. And the reason that people don't know what's going on is because they control the media, they control the educational system, the publication of textbooks, and so we really think that we have a two-party system, and of course that there's a great deal of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, and it just isn't true. But go right ahead, Bob.
No, I think we covered his answer. And, what we've done here is outline the scope of what's been going on, is going on, and where we see this headed. There's no way out for them. They know that. That's why they're having the wars that they have, wars of distractions. After the election, I'm sure they'll have a draft, and they'll be either going into Georgia, Kosovo, the Ukraine, Iran, and they're just going to keep on doing this. That's why they have 761 bases all over the world. It's war, 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 steal, steal, steal. And that's how they think they're going to get themselves extricated from this terrible position that they put the people of the world in by having these wars and killing off half the people in the world.
The average individual has no idea how imminent World War III is. And so we get into a war with the Muslim world. Remember, of course, the Sybil Edmonds story where we've actually actively been transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan. Read the 2008 article we have on Sybil Edmonds, or go up and get the London Times article, I think they're January 6th or 8th of this year, where Sybil Edmonds told about the spy ring operating at the highest level of our government. In the State Department, of course, State Department is Council on Foreign Relations, so they're in on this thing. And they're transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan so they can transfer it to the rest of the Muslim world so they can all have nuclear bombs so that we can have a good old nuclear war, just exactly as we built up the Hitler Germany, the Nazis before the Second World War, as we built up the communist potential from the very inception of the communist revolution right up into the present time. Certainly we were doing everything we could to help the Chinese communists during the Korean War when they were killing our boys, and as we did during the Vietnam War. We financed the Russians who financed the North Vietnamese who killed our boys in South Vietnam. And then, of course, as we're doing today, as we finance Pakistani's government, that finances the ISI, that finances the Taliban, and our boys are being killed in the poppy fields and villages of Afghanistan by the Taliban, funded by the ISI, that's funded with American tax dollars, because nobody's got enough money to keep these things going. Bob, our guest today has been Bob Chapman. And people have to understand there's nothing new under the sun. The same thing's gone on over and over and over again. Would you agree?
Absolutely. History has just been controlled by these people for the last 1,000 years, and we're going to put a stop to it. That's why we're on the air, and that's why we're telling people what's going on. And this time when the house comes stumbling down financially and economically and they're having new wars, the people are going to know what they're doing and how they're doing it, and they're going to have a revolution on their hands. One way or the other, we're going to stop them this time.
All right,
guys. Stop them permanently.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, we've covered so much tonight. I got to think for a minute. First of all, I'd like to thank the people for calling in. It's excellent to hear their ideas and also to hear their questions, and we try our best, of course, to answer them. As I said, I think we're going to get a rating a decrease tomorrow. I think the market will be up early. I think gold and silver will be up. And if they do lower rates, gold and silver could quickly go back up to their highs that they reached earlier this year. And they're not going to stop what's in process. They can't, and they know that. And, you know, every day we have a battle. And sometimes we win one day and they win the next. But we are going to win the war. They are not going to win it. When the American public finally is living under a bridge, figuratively speaking, they're going to say, who did this to us, and how did it happen? And what the word that we're trying to get out today will become known all over America.
Well, we
and
hope that
in knowing that, they'll know who to act against. We'll be able to neutralize these forces of evil for no other there's no better word for them, and we'll be able to get back being American society again.
And that, of course, is the subject of my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you really need to get it. You need to understand that there really are satanic organizations out there. There really are people who worship Lucifer and belong to Luciferian organizations. And if you get the material off of our website, and go to WilliamHKennedy.com website, you'll actually see the videos of some of the Luciferian ceremonies that are going on, and you can watch them for nothing. Of course, you can get a lot of the material from Radio Liberty, but you can get you can actually watch it at William H. Kennedy for nothing. You need to get the information out. Our guest this evening has been Bob Chapman. And Bob, do you want to give your telephone number one more time before I let you go?
Yeah, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And you can get a free introductory copy either by email or hard copy of the International Forecaster.
And it's vitally important that you understand what's going on. You make your preparations now, because you must get out of debt. You must first get out of the market. You must get out of the things that will be destroyed as this whole financial house of cards comes down. Good night, Bob. God bless. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
We Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we hope that you enjoyed our conversation with Bob Chapman, and of course that we hope that you will begin making your preparations, because most people are going to get wiped out before this is over. You need to get out of debt. You need, of course, to get out of the stock market. You need to get out and get into gold and silver. What a wonderful time to buy it when the prices are down, because it has intrinsic value. And paper money, well, it really isn't worth the paper it's printed on. In fact, over in Zimbabwe, where we installed the government there, that has now created 2.5% a year, 2.5 million% a year inflation, they can't even buy paper, because the paper is far more valuable than the money they're printing. With a 2.5 million% inflation rate in Zimbabwe, it was Rhodesia when we betrayed it. We installed a Marxist communist thug named Mugabe there. But we're installing Marxists all over the world, and Marxist thugs, that's why we have our troops stationed in 130 nations, to keep these thugs in power. Of course, they usually try to convince us they were elected democratically, but of course, if you haven't seen my DVD on the World Revolution, going into the background of how the United States intentionally brought Fidel Castro to power and has kept him in power, and you'll see my interview with the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution, who tells you how the State Department, the CIA, knew Fidel Castro was a communist and brought him to power. And why would we do that? Why is the best enemy money could buy? That's why we're building up Russia in preparation today for the coming war. That's why we're building up communist China in preparation for the coming war. That's why we're transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan for the coming nuclear war. Understand that. It's deja vu all over again. And it doesn't make sense unless you understand the powerful spiritual forces there at work. And that's why you need to see my talk, The Forbidden Secret. That's The Forbidden Secret, and get the syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, you want to see my talk on the secret knowledge. Of course, it's very much the same story, a little different slant on it. And then, of course, I talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that, so you can have this information at your fingertips and help disseminate the truth across America. To understand what's happening financially, let me suggest my talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus that goes with that. The booklets, and they're only about 50 pages each, we publish them, The History of Money and The Financial Meltdown. That's The History of Money and Financial Meltdown. And then the books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, out of print, but if you can order it now, and we'll get it to you as soon as it's back in print. And then, of course, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy. Most Americans don't even know it's a privately owned central bank. And then the little book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And we do hope many of you out there will make it a point, of course, to get the information and to help us spread it out across the country. You can go to our website. You can see a lot of our videos there for nothing. And then we have another section on other videos. We recommend you that. The website is radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com. You can read our newsletters there and copy them and distribute them. You can actually listen to our radio programs there, live, archived, MP3, blog. You can actually listen to our satellite feed 9 hours a day. And incidentally, if you want an inexpensive satellite, just call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. Please don't forget the fact we're having an all-day seminar on the 26th of October, and we're bringing in Dr. Russell Blaylock. Joanna Michelson, who is a medium, will be there, and she was, of course, deeply involved in psychic healing and in contact with the other dimension. And then, of course, our good friend Patrick Wood will be here talking about what's going on financially. He was one of the authors of the Trilateralists over Washington back there in the 1970s, tried to expose the Trilateral Commission along with our good friend Anthony Sutton. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion and delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that we express here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Janet Phelan, who has her own radio program and wants to talk to people out across America about the very real danger of bioterrorism that we face today. Janet, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Doing just fine. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and what your background is?
All right. I have been a journalist for over 25 years.
Can you just speak up just a little bit, please?
Okay, yes. I'm actually talking to you in right now in faraway Toronto.
All right,
so,
fine.
I just actually came in from doing a television interview in Toronto, and on this very same subject of the use of water as a weapon, of bioterrorism. As I was saying, I've been a reporter over 25 years. I have my articles have appeared in the Los Angeles Times, Santa Monica Daily Press, Long Beach Press Telegram, We Magazine, many different venues. Back in 2004, I basically ended up being sort of ousted out of mainstream media, precisely because I began to research what is called critical infrastructure information, which applies to the water systems across America. And so I found myself without a newspaper job and started to do radio. At this point in time, I have a show every Saturday co-hosted by Dr. Rebecca Carley on Republic Broadcasting Network. That is called Two If by C. I also have a show every Wednesday on KSKQ, which is in Ashland, Oregon, and that is called One If by Land. I like the Paul Revere idea. I like the idea of, what Paul was doing was warning people that the fit was hitting the shan, and that people needed basically to become aware of what was going on and to properly defend themselves. So that's what I am attempting to do, is to arm people with information that they that may be very useful depending on how this population, what we will be confronted with in the future.
All right, well, what are we going to be confronted with in the future, Janet?
Well, the way it looks to me is we're getting hit from every direction.
All right. Well, I think that's a fair appraisal, but of course most people are totally unaware of this. They cannot believe that the Federal Drug Administration, the U.S. Public Health Service, the Centers for Disease Control, the Environmental Protection Agency, are led by evil people. There are a lot of good people who work in these organizations, but you're never going to hear what they have to say about water fluoridation or certainly many of the drugs that were being given that are so harmful to the public. Well, we're going to be back here in just a minute with Janet Phelan as she begins to talk about some of the issues that she thinks are very, very important, including what's happening to our water. And people don't understand. All across America, our water is being contaminated. In cities, certainly in communities, if you have your own well, you're probably better off than most people. But what a wonderful way to destroy the health of the American people than to contaminate the water. And people said, nobody in their right mind would want to do that. And you're absolutely right. But we're not dealing with people in the right mind. We're dealing with people who have a different agenda. Because I personally believe they worship a different God. And we're going to be back in just a moment with Janet and get her thoughts. Well, Janet, you go right ahead.
All right. Okay, well, we're talking water tonight, and...
Well, you can talk about whatever you want to as far as bioterrorism. Oh, yeah. You can expand into other things if you'd like to.
Right, well, water, everybody needs the water on this planet. This is a water planet, and right now I think we're touting that there's water on Mars, which means there either is or has been life on Mars, because water is considered to be the necessary prerequisite for life. So if someone were interested in, shall we say, arresting life or some people's lives, water would be one way to go about that. What we are seeing now across the country is that the water systems have been tweaked. And they have been tweaked in a particular way. You had said a little bit earlier, Dr. Monteith, that the water is being contaminated. And I believe just the other day there was a story that came through the Associated Press of, with great shock and horror, we're finding all these drugs in the water. Well, the system that I am talking about specifically in water as a weapon is not about fluoridation. It's not about, some accidental contamination of, estrogen or Prozac or whatever. It is a very deliberate system that has been set up now for over 25 years. They've been working on getting this system in place in cities and towns across America.
Well, how do you feel about water fluoridation and the effort to, of course, fluoridate our water with hydrofluor salicylic acid?
How do I feel about it?
Right.
Well, fluoridation was first used, I understand, to my understanding, in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, and it was used specifically there to induce an artificial sense of artificial state of passivity and docility, so that the population in those concentration camps would not be in a state of mind where they would be presenting an active resistance. And what I see going on in terms of the fluoridation programs in this country is essentially a similar sort of thing. It's like a 1-2 punch. You hit them with fluoride, and then you come in for the kill. And I want to stress that this particular water weapon that I'm talking about is not a fluoridation project. There are a couple of articles which you...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I was just talking to Janet. I asked her what she thought of water fluoridation, the water fluoridation that is so prevalent all across America. And, of course, she's well aware of the fact that water fluoridation was first used in the Nazi concentration camps. It actually was used in the occupied zones of Eastern Europe, occupied by the Nazis, because, of course, putting fluoride in the water would make people more docile. It has an impact. It's one of the major, for instance, components of Prozac. And Prozac has an effect on the brain, so does fluoride, and it alters your outlook. This is used in the Russian concentration camps and the Gulag, but they're not going to tell the American people that. But Janet says that what she's talking about is not necessarily water fluoridation, so go ahead, pick up your story.
Right. First of all, I would like to be able to give the listening audience a couple of links where they can read some of my work on this and also look at the documents for themselves. And one article, which is on a number of indie medias, is Water as a Weapon. There is a second article entitled Water Wars, an Update. And there is a third article which is in preparation right now and has not yet been published. What our country has done across the breadth of America is to establish double-line water systems. Now, that in itself seems pretty innocuous.
What do you mean by a double-line water system?
Right. There are two water mains, well, they're calling them water mains, running down most streets in America now. One of them is water. Complete with the fluoride and whatever else they're putting in it. The other line, there's a second line, though, and I call that line the Viper line. And when I be, began to research this particular system, I ran into an awful lot of denial, uproar, refusal to give records when I began to research the issue of the double line water system. And it does appear.
Which cities is it in, or is it in most cities? I've never heard
it.
It
appears to be across America.
Is it documented? Is it in the engineering? Where did you get the plans for it?
Right. There are four states, I believe, where I have gotten records. I've gotten records from California, from Idaho, from Washington, and from Oregon. And the plans that I've gotten, the blueprints I have gotten, I have had to resort to some level of subterfuge in order to get. Now, when I made a direct records request to the city of Los Angeles for blueprints, I got a letter back signed by Ronald Deaton, who's the general manager of Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, saying that they would have to be redacting some information from the water blueprints for reasons of national security. So all the blueprints that I got from LADWP directly from them were stamped redacted. Redacted means to alter or excise information. So they were stamped redacted and did not provide details or even existence of the double line water system. Now, I developed some sorts of methods of getting real blueprints that had not been altered or excised. And this wasn't that difficult. What I would do is I would generally, figure out where the work sites were. I'd sidle up to the guys working on the street. I'd, chat them up a bit and ask, hey, can I see the blueprints of what you're doing? And then I would pull out my camera and start photographing them. Now, I had already photographed some of the blueprints that I requested from the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. So when I got the redacted blueprints without the double lines, I could compare them to the photographs I already had, which showed the double lines. Now, some people have suggested to me that the reason for the double line is, this is, it would make a lot of sense, just a backup line in case the main breaks, then you can just go to the backup system, and, that would seem to make an awful lot of sense. However, I do have some photographs, and they are attached to the water as a weapon of that seemed to controvert that is actually what they're doing. And there was some work in progress on Washington Boulevard in Los Angeles. And instead of using the backup line, they went directly to a hydrant. And you can see pictures of gutter pipes running from hydrants down the gutter. So while work is being done to maintain an uninterrupted water service, they were simply servicing off the hydrant. Now, if the second line would have been potable and drinkable, they would have just, of course, switched to the second line, but they can't because it's not potable and drinkable. Now, this brings up the specter of Section 817 of the U.S. Patriot Act, which I do believe it's the expansion of the biological weapons statute, which I believe is basically the umbrella statute that is authorizing this very likely some other poison projects. The expansion of the biological weapons statute is legalizing delivery systems and toxins under certain circumstances.
But can you have something in writing from the government that's saying that's what they're doing?
You mean, has the government admitted that they're going to use water to kill people?
Right.
I don't believe so, no.
Well, fine, so then this is more or less surmising this is the reason for the second pair of pipes. Could that simply be those to actually feed water into the water hydrants?
There's quite a bit of evidence that is not what this is for.
All right,
well,
could you give us the evidence so we would know? What is the evidence that is not the purpose of it?
The evidence is that it's not the purpose of it. Let's start with Section 817 of the U.S. Patriot Act. Now, I have a number of blueprints that are attached to water as a weapon. and you can look at the blueprints yourself, and you can see the way the system is set up. We've got two lines, and we've got service lines running that are cross-connecting the two lines. Now, if you look at Section 817 of the U.S. Patriot Act, you have the legalization of delivery systems and toxins under certain circumstances. Delivery systems, weapons terminology, Dr. Monteith, as you know. Yes, go ahead, please.
Well, you're saying that it says it's all right to put toxins or poisons into the water system?
No, it doesn't detail water. It legalizes poisoning people. That's what Section 817 does. I just stated, I believe it's an umbrella statute that is authorizing several projects.
I see. So basically you say that there is something in the Patriot Act that legalizes poisoning people.
The expansion of the biological weapons statute.
All right.
Section 8.
All right. Go ahead.
Right. And the other aspect of 817, I mean, the first thing that one would think is that very likely that this has something to do with biowarfare against enemy nations.
But
however, if you look at the restricted persons, there's a section of 817 which lists the restricted persons who are disallowed from possessing or transporting these delivery systems and toxins. Now, the list of restricted persons includes things like mental defectives, felons, so on. But there is no mention in the restricted persons of this being a military operation. So, if this is not something that would be possessed by armed forces in terms of warfare against a foreign foe, one would have to ask, is this going to be used against segments of the U.S. population? Now, in terms of the way the system itself is set up, you have the double lines. Now, interestingly enough, there are members of the government. I've had quite a bit of communication and writing letters back and forth between different water departments. And the first thing that they want to do is dispossess you of the idea that there are double line water systems in this country. And interestingly enough, I got quite a bit of verbiage like that from a man named Larry Chertoff. Larry Chertoff is actually the cousin of the Department of Homeland Security's chief, Michael Chertoff. And the Patriot Act, the primary co-author of the U.S. Patriot Act was Michael Chertoff. Larry Chertoff is his cousin. Larry Chertoff is one of the top water guys in the country. He has worked for the New York City New York Environmental Protection Agency. He has worked for Global Water Intelligence. He has just had an entire career in water. At this point in time, he is a director of the A. Linda Corporation, which is involved in setting up privatization of water systems. And when I spoke with Larry Chertoff and I taped the interview last year, he vigorously denied that there were double water systems anywhere in this country. He said, well, we don't have enough money for double line water systems. This is a guy who's been working in water for decades. And I did send him some of the blueprints that I had, at which point he wouldn't take any more calls from me. So we have a lot of people who don't want us to know that we have double line water systems. Now, why would that be? If they're just backup lines, why would we have the level of shutdown of information about this? Most recently, hear music.
Go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
Okay. Most recently, I had communication with AWWA, which is the American Water Works Association, which is a nonprofit corporation, which basically provides standards and manuals for water systems, not only all over America, but all over the world.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Janet Phelan. All right, Janet, go right ahead.
Okay. Now, the AWWA, which, you know, American Water Works Association, sounds as American as apple pie. It's actually owned by Germany. But the AWWA, the fellow that I spoke with there who was in public relations, I broached the issue of double-line water systems immediately. No, we don't have those. We don't have those. Well, I said, it appears you do. I have these blueprints. And I said, can I send them to you? And I did. And once again, he won't now return calls. So there appears to be quite a bit of concern that that people don't know that there are double-line water systems.
Have you actually talked to any engineers about this? Could this be a double-line sewer system? Because we do have double-line sewer systems. So can you separate the water system from the sewer system?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Some of the blueprints that I have, and I would certainly be willing to, I have some of these on email. I could send them out to anyone interested. The blueprints that I have from the Spokane, Washington system are very easy to read because they have marked the water in blue. So you can see very clearly that I believe the sewer was marked in green. The other utilities are marked in different colors. They do not mark sewer lines the same color as water lines, and the water lines were marked in blue. Furthermore, the lines are the two lines, the water main and what I call the Viper line, are cross-connected. Now, there are laws on the books I believe, every state, certainly every state I've looked at, that makes cross-connecting potable water, drinkable water, with non-drinkable water, that makes that basically a big no-no. Now, when I discovered these double lines in Spokane, I had quite a bit of back and forth with in writing with both the city of Spokane and also with the Department of Health in the state of Washington. And the first thing that they wanted to dispossess me of was the idea that these two lines were cross-connected.
Well, did they admit that there were dual lines there? There were two lines.
Well, I had the blueprints. They couldn't say there weren't.
All right.
Right. I had the blueprints. I sent them to them. There's no way they could say that they weren't. So what they started trying to tell me was that they were not cross-connected. Now, this is where it got very interesting. The first thing, because I had gone to the work site, I photographed pipes, I photographed valves, all kinds of things. So the first letter that I got back stated that even though they appeared to be cross-connected, the service lines, which would be the ones going into your house, going from the lines into your house, that they were actually plastic and they were flexible. So even though both mains were listed as being 5.5 feet deep, they were not cross-connected because the service lines were flexible and could go over or under one of the pipes. Now, I had been at the work site, I had photographed the connective pipe, and they were absolutely not flexible. So when I informed the city of Spokane of that reality, they changed their story. And they were desperate, apparently, to let me know that these were not cross-connected. So what they said then is that even though the blueprints say, okay, you're right, they said, they're not flexible pipe. What we're telling you now is that the two pipes, which were both listed on the specs as being 5.5 feet deep, they said, well,
hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Janet was saying that, of course, the city of Spokane denied there were dual water systems. Janet showed them the blueprints. They admitted they were, but they said they weren't cross-connected. And then, of course, how did you demonstrate that they really were cross-connected?
Like I said, their initial response was that the connective pipe was flexible, so that it would go over or under, the second line. And I demonstrated that that was untrue because I had photographs of the connected pipe. I was at a work site. The whole street was opened up, sort of like surgery. You just open it up to do the work. And I had photographs of the connective pipe, which were clearly rigid metal pipe. So they said, okay, you're right. You're right. We lied. So in order to convince me that the two lines were not cross-connected. They stated that that the blueprints lied, and that the blueprints, which said that both of the pipes were 5.5 feet deep, that basically that was a lie. Now, I would say my response to that was, well, someone's lying, you know, and I doubt it's the blueprints. So the reason that, of course, that the cross-connection is so important is that if what you have, if it is indeed a viper, the second line is a viper line, if it has something in there that's not drinkable, you wouldn't want the public to think that it's connected to a line of drinkable water. It is written into codes that that is not to be done. But there you have it, done over and over again. Now, whatever is in the viper line would need to be inhibited. It would need to be held back until they're ready to deploy this. So it would have to be held back by a valve. And my first hunch on this was that these would have to be remote control valves, because it simply makes sense. I mean, if they're going to deploy this, they don't want, at the time of deployment, to be dispatching city workers all over the country, digging up the street and manually turning valves. It becomes way too obvious. So my gut feeling, my hunch initially, was these are remote control valves. So I was at a work site in Los Angeles, and the guys were there with their valves, and they were laying down the pipe and doing all this stuff. And I asked, I said, are these remote controlled? And the street workers, who have no idea that they're doing anything that, you know, that could be considered problematic, said, oh, yeah, they said, these are remote controlled. And one of the guys said, look, there, that's where the chip is. And he's trying to point to me inside. Look, there's the chip. So later on, I was able to get photographs of stacks of valves that were in the city yard in Santa Monica. And I also got some photographs of valves in the state of Washington, which clearly have RFID addresses written on them. So the denial that I subsequently got from city officials that remote control valves were being used, once again, was actually controverted, by the evidence that I had already gotten concerning these valves. Now, there's some very interesting things going on about these valves. A lot of these remote control valves are being manufactured by U.S. Pipe. U.S. Pipe, is one of the larger pipe and valve manufacturers in this country. There's some other companies that manufacture them as well, but I was looking particularly at U.S. Pipe at the time that I wrote Water as a Weapon. And the leadership of U.S. Pipe has some very interesting sort of background. The CEO, whose name is Ray Torok, was previously with Alcoa Aerospace. The vice president, Walter Nolenberg, was previously with Burns Aerospace. Now, it would be an unusual career path from aerospace to a plumbing company unless there's a connection, and it turns out that there is. So when I stumbled across a company called ROM, R-O-M Communications, I found out what the exact relationship between aerospace and plumbing was.
And what is it?
It goes to the control of the valve. Now, of the ROM Communications, they have a website, and they have a diagram on the website, which I did copy and attach to Water as a Weapon. And this diagram shows how you can initiate a command from a laptop, a cell phone. The diagram shows it going into the Internet, up to a satellite, and how it can access, on the left-hand side, it shows a water valve.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Janet Phelan, and Janet, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, interestingly enough, I was interviewing a man named Ali Saboni, who was with the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and he was the head engineer on the Ardmore Street project, which is one of the projects where they were putting in the double lines and the remote-controlled valves. And I had already gotten some photographs of these remote-controlled valves from a work site attached to the Ardmore Street project. Now, I had an interview with Mr. Saboni, who was the resident engineer for that project, and I asked him about remote-controlled water valves. And he stated, with great emphasis, there is no such thing as a remote-controlled water valve. Now, anyone who does any Googling about these things, solenoid water valves, remote-controlled water valves, you'll find that they certainly do exist. But this man, who has been, you know, a head engineer with the Department of Water and Power and has been with the Department of Water and Power in Los Angeles for 15 years, insisted that there was no such thing as a remote-controlled water valve. Now, I asked him then, well, could you explain to me how timed sprinkler systems operate? And he began to sputter and go, well, finally he said, well, those are small valves. So first he says, here we go again, you know, with the backtracking, the when one lie doesn't work, make up another story. First he says there's no such thing as a remote control water valve, and then he admits, well, there are small remote control water valves, like on sprinkler systems, but they wouldn't be larger. Well, if you have small remote control water valves, then imagine you could have remote control water valves that are a few inches larger, because they do exist. You can Google them. You can find out all about them, because I certainly did. So once again, we have people who are involved in setting up the system and controlling this system who don't want you to know, first of all, that they're double line water systems. Second of all, that they can, that whatever is in that second system can be released by remote control.
So, all right, fine. Well, now, do we have any idea what's in the second system, or are there anything in the second system at the present time?
Well, we have no idea what is in it. And the way the system is set up is they can run anything they want to through that second line. They can put LSD in the second line. They can put cyanide in that second line. We have no idea.
Hold that thought right there, Janet. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Janet Phelan, talking about water as a weapon. Janet, would you like to get your website out again so people would know where to go and get additional information?
Right. You can Google water as a weapon. It is on Miami Indie Media as well as other indie medias. You can also Google water wars and update. And those are two articles, both of which were published in the American's Bulletin. And they will give you some information about this system. I began to research in the second article, which is Water Wars and Update. I began to research some of the laws and so on that have gone into setting up this perfectly horrific system. And I found immediately that the Critical Infrastructure Information Act of 2002, and which was passed shortly after 9/11. And according to the Critical Infrastructure Information Act, it becomes a crime punishable by time in prison for a government employee to release any information about protected infrastructure. Water is protected infrastructure. And it also basically shuts down any other possible leaks of information by extending sanctions to state employees as well as to federal employees. Also, it basically blows out of the water, so to speak, any protection that might be given under the whistleblower protection law.
Well, of course, they're going to say, well, of course, we don't want the terrorists to find out about our water system because we're afraid the terrorists are going to contaminate it. Wouldn't that be their explanation?
Well, they're using that terrorism flag, basically, to gun down all kinds of things. I mean, they have used the terrorism business to basically take our rights away in this country too,
right.
Our privacy rights. Basically that event of 9/11 was used in many senses in the same way as the Reichstag fire was used in Hitler's Germany. You create a non-existent foreign boogeyman, and then you use the fear to take away the rights of the population which you intend to attack.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think you see this manifested in so many ways. But did they start these dual water systems before or after September 11th? Have these been around for a long time? Or is this something relatively new?
No. You know, when I first started researching this, my first assumption was that they started laying these down after 9/11. That's absolutely untrue. They've been working on the water lines in terms of setting up the system for around at least 20 years, which means, through multiple administrations, which was, when I came to that realization, it was pretty earth-shattering for me because I had wanted to believe that all of the evil that was being visited on this country was because of the Bush administration, and that's simply untrue. There are some executive orders that were and presidential proclamations that go back many, many years that were beginning to, move towards setting this stuff up as well. Now, I was also looking at the U.S. Water Resources Council, which I believe was, here I have an executive order that came down, I believe, in the 70s, where the water, it was Executive Order 11747, which gave certain presidential powers to the Water Resources Council. And interesting heavyweights on the Water Resources, the U.S. Water Resources Council. There was the Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of the Army, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of HUD, Secretary of the Interior, Secretary of Transportation, and the Administrator of the EPA. Now, when I went deeper into what the U.S. Water Resources Council was all about, I began to become somewhat alarmed. It, originally, on the surface, it looked like they're just, rather benign. However, I got into, here this was Section 701-301, which stated that essentially that the U.S. Water Resources Council was collecting some very personal records on citizens of the United States. And I'm going to read here. The records included, quote, any item, collection, or grouping of information about an individual that is maintained by the council, including but not limited to his education, financial transactions, medical history, and criminal or employment history, and that contains his name, or the identifying number, symbol, or other identifying particular assigned to the individual, such as a finger or voice print or a photograph. Now, what it looks like through the collections of records is that they were collecting demographics. And demographics. So what I have maintained from the get-go on this water weapon is that it's going to be targeting people in certain groups. Are they socioeconomic groups? Are they, educational groups? Whatever it is, the U.S. Water Resources Council was collecting information on the demographics of U.S. citizens. And when you start looking at them collecting your medical records, your financial transactions, I mean, I'd have to say, what would that be for? Now, if we are indeed looking at the rearing up of some sort of Hitlerian agenda, then the ability to group American citizens into demographic groups, you know, these are Christian patriots, these are Jews, these are criminals, these are mentally unfit people, that if this is what we're looking at again in this country, then the collection and maintaining of records like this would be critical towards figuring out who's going to be judged unfit to survive. Now, one of the things that I need to make absolutely clear about this water system is this is selective, so that basically this system can hit one house, it can pass by the next house, it can pass by an entire block, because it is selective per residence. And if you look at the photographs of the blueprints, you will see, you know, where the service lines go into, you know, every single house, and the service lines are the ones that are cross-connecting from the Viper line into the water line. And at this point in time, you know, being withheld by those remote control valves, which they insist don't exist. So this is what we have now. Now, I want to say that I consider this to be a very bizarre system. It would have to be a real, you know, strange brain to think up something like this. But this is what we have. This is what has been chosen as a system by those in power. And a couple of the things that go in its favor is, first of all, this is under the streets. Nobody would ever think anything if a city crew pulls up the in front of your house and they're, you know, working on the water lines in the street. Nobody's going to think anything of this. So it's something that would not arouse alarm. And when the work's done, it's all sealed up, paved over, then who would know?
Do we have any idea, or do you have any idea, what percentage of these cities would have this? Is it simply some of the larger cities? Is it every city? As you've looked into this and checked various cities and tried to get information, what's your impression?
My impression, well, again, this is a very good question. I have seen this, I've seen blueprints that indicate that this is in cities as small as 8,000, as well as in cities of the size of Los Angeles.
Well, would this cross-connection be for all water lines or just certain for specific areas?
Well, I'll tell you, I have not looked at every city, you know, in every state of the United States of America, but every city I have looked at has basically this same system.
All right.
And as I mentioned, I've looked at, you know, a small town as well as...
Where would they, if they were going to inject anything into the water system, what you call the Viper line, how would that be done? Where would the origin of any toxic substances they were to inject?
Well, I mean, it would have to be through the water company, and it would have to wherever the originating line goes into.
Have you talked to any of the people have you talked to any of the people at the water system itself, you know, about the second lines? Are they aware of them?
I think there are a lot of people who are working in water systems who are aware of them, and they vigorously attempt to persuade you that they don't exist. As I mentioned earlier, it becomes a felony and punishable by time in prison if you're a government employee to disclose this information. We did have a murder back, I believe it was in 2005, or I believe it was 2005, which, you know, appears to possibly be related. Dr. Geetha Ongara was a water chemist whose job was testing water quality, and she worked for the Passaic, New Jersey water system. And shortly after the Department of Homeland Security had come around to the plant holding seminars, she was found murdered at work, strangled, and her body dumped into a tank at work. It appears that you know, there's some peril involved in working on water systems now. At least two reporters, one of which was me, lost their jobs because of this story. I had been a columnist to Santa Monica Daily Press back in 2004, and I had become aware that there was some sort of funny business going on with water, and I got myself over to City Hall and, you know, just said, hey, you know, I'm a reporter and I'm covering infrastructure and I'd like to see the water records. And within 6 hours, I got a phone call. I put in my Public Records Act request, and within 6 hours, I got a call from the editor-in-chief of the Santa Monica Daily Press, who told me in no uncertain terms that I was not to ask questions about water, that I was endangering her position as editor of the Santa Monica Daily Press, and I was not to go there. And I went over to the office to try to, you know, talk to her about this. I mean, this is, you know, this level of censorship is not, you know, what a person who believes in the First Amendment would find acceptable. And I found that the entire office had become very hostile, and I quit. I just tendered my resignation, and I quit. And I started working on, you know, this story without the sponsorship of a newspaper, and I engaged the help of a fellow at the L.A. Times. Fred D'Aguilar had been at the city desk of the L.A. Times for 15 years, and I was talking with him regularly on the phone while I was, you know, beginning to try to pull up records, get photographs of blueprints, and he was my sounding board, and he was actually the one who suggested the first, the name for the first article I read on this. And when I wrote the first draft, I sent it over to Fred. He insisted. He said, this is incredible. He said, I've got to show this to the editors of the L.A. Times. And he did. And shortly thereafter, he was told to pack up his desk and go home. They didn't need his services anymore.
Has he ever been able to get another job in the newspaper business, do you know?
Fred?
Has he ever gotten another job in newspaper business?
To my knowledge, I was in touch with him for a while, and others around him for a while afterwards. He was not. And last I heard, he was starting up, you know, his own business in an area that did not involve media.
All right, fine. Well, of course, we've heard these similar stories, but other people have gotten a little bit too close to the devil's heartbeat. Now, certainly, as you've tried to get the story out, have you had any success? How do you get onto radio or onto television and get the story out?
Oh, well, the stories got published in the American's Bulletin. The American's Bulletin is a newspaper in the freedom movement. It's a national newspaper, and it's published out of Medford, Oregon. And Water is a Weapon made the it was the cover story in July of 2007, and then shortly thereafter the second article appeared in the American's Bulletin as well. I've done hundreds of radio shows about this now. I have been on the air you know, all over the country about this. I just got in from doing well, radio, actually, it comes out over both radio and TV in Toronto, Canada. And we were talking about this tonight in Canada.
Well, do they have a similar problem up in Canada as well as here in the United States?
Oh, that's a very good question. It's a very good question. This system may extend beyond the United States of America. And one of the ways that I began to ascertain this was to look at, well, first of all, the American Water Works Association, which I had mentioned earlier. And the American Water Works Association provides the standards and also produces manuals for water systems, not only in America, but in many, many different countries. And the list I have actually of the countries that do not subscribe to the AWJP AWWA standards is extremely telling. And this list I got before we invaded Iraq. But at that point in time, the non-subscribing countries to the AWWA standards were Iraq, Iran, Syria, Cuba, and the Sudan, and that was it.
And all the rest of
that
the part
was
of
it.
So have you had any pressure put on you personally since you left your place of employment there in Santa Monica?
Oh, I say that I've had, it's been pretty much a wild ride.
I mean,
have you had any
threats or any of the, well, they loosen the lugs on your tires or things like that on your wheels?
Well, I had something very interesting happen, which is actually somewhat of the reason I'm up here.